Now, for many of these claims, we don't have to settle the statistical arguments in order to address the arguments. Part of the reason for this is that correlation is not the same thing as cause. How many of you have heard this before, maybe in class? Okay. Just because two things go together, it doesn't mean that one causes the other. I usually illustrate this with the old story of the scientific drunk. Scientific drunk wants to know why he gets hangovers, so he starts keeping a journal. And he writes in his journal, Monday night, scotch and soda. Tuesday morning, hangover. Tuesday night, gin and soda. Wednesday morning, hangover. Wednesday night, vodka and soda. Thursday morning, hangover. And then he looks back at the journal and says, aha! Soda causes hangovers. I think that when we say homosexuality is responsible for all these problems, we might be looking at the soda. So what's the alcohol? Well, at least part of the alcohol seems to be society's treatment of gay and lesbian people, which might make it stand to reason that life is more difficult if you're a gay or lesbian person, and you might be more likely to exhibit certain problems as a result of that. In fact, there's something here that I call the argument of the bully. Bully on the playground knocks down another kid, kid falls down and starts crying. Teacher says, why did you hit the kid? Bully says, I hit him because he's crying and that bothers me. Teacher says, but he's crying because you hit him. Bully says, yeah, and if he keeps crying, I'm going to hit him again. Now, what's the problem with the bully's argument? The bully tries to justify what he does on the grounds that he doesn't like the effect of what he does. Now, imagine somebody like, oh, I don't know, Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson says, homosexual people lead miserable, unhappy lives, and I want to say, and why do you think that might be? Could it have anything to do with the kinds of things that you say about gay and lesbian people? Could it have anything to do with the kinds of positions you take? I mean, that might stand to reason that gay and lesbian people's lives are a little bit more difficult. Now you might say, okay, well that might work for some of the alleged problems, but not all of them. What about AIDS? Doesn't homosexuality cause AIDS? No. Virus causes AIDS, and that virus can be passed along by homosexual activity, by heterosexual activity, by some activities that are not sexual at all. Consider the fact that from the standpoint of AIDS risk, it is infinitely more risky for me to have sex with an HIV-positive woman than with an HIV-negative man. Why? Because it's the virus that causes AIDS, not the sex. And if the virus isn't present, two men can have sex for days on end without worrying about AIDS. Fatigue, yes. AIDS, no. And furthermore, if AIDS risk were somehow supposed to be the barometer of morality, lesbians would be the most moral people in the world. Because from the standpoint of AIDS risk, lesbian sex is the way to go. I see some of you are very risk averse in this audience. I mean, think about it. Surgeon General recommends lesbianism. Okay, it's probably not going to happen, but if we're talking about AIDS risk, I mean, there are just too many gaps in this argument. The argument seems to assume all homosexual sex is risky, all risky activity is immoral, therefore all homosexual sex is immoral. That argument falls apart in two places, the first premise and the second premise. They're both false as written. Some homosexual sex is risky, some is not. Some heterosexual sex is risky, some activities that are not sexual at all are risky. Some risky activities are immoral, some aren't. There are just too many gaps here.